Do solar eclipses have any prophetic significance? Some say yes, others say no, or maybe. It's a challenge to get answered because there are so many contradictory opinions. How can we get a clear answer in the middle of all the confusion? That's our focus now on Foreshadowed Report. Welcome to Foreshadowed Report, a podcast dedicated to helping people understand Bible prophecy more clearly. Every week, we cover a different topic on this podcast. We study what the Bible says about the rapture, the tribulation, the future one-world government, current events in the Middle East, and more. And our goal is to let the Bible guide us in our understanding of God's plans for the future. In this episode, we're going to talk about total solar eclipses. There are many who believe they are prophetically significant, but those who make this claim have arrived at a wide variety of conclusions about what solar eclipses really mean. We're going to take time now to look closely at the claims people are making and hold those claims up to the light of God's Word, as well as careful logic, and see whether they really make sense. If you've had any interest at all in total solar eclipses, then I'm sure you've noticed the enormous amount of activity that shows up on the internet in the weeks before they happen. That's been very true about the solar eclipse that will be seen in North America on April 8th, 2024. If you've watched any of the YouTube videos, or listened to the podcast, or read website articles about the eclipse, you'll notice that an amazing number of people are making connections between the solar eclipse and Bible prophecy. Now, while I'll be talking about the 2024 eclipse in parts of this podcast, as much as possible, I'm going to share observations that are meant to apply to all total solar eclipses. So no matter which total solar eclipse we are talking about, whether it's in Australia, or Asia, or Africa, or in Europe, the principles I share will be relevant to all of them. Now, one of the more common themes we're hearing about total solar eclipses is that they are signs of God's judgment. Another major theme is that all through history, solar eclipses have occurred around the same time as major wars or catastrophic events. But what's striking is that there are so many different opinions about the meanings behind solar eclipses, and a good number of these opinions are contradictory. For example, one online article says, just because an eclipse occurred doesn't necessarily mean it is a sign or warning. But then there's another article that says, from a biblical point of view, a solar eclipse is meant to be a sign from God. Who should I believe? Those who say eclipses aren't always a sign? Or those who say eclipses are meant to be a sign? Many of the videos and podcasts about total solar eclipses are very persuasive. Sometimes Bible verses are quoted, and detailed explanations are given for why an eclipse has this prophetic meaning or that prophetic significance. But when there are so many different opinions, some of which are contradictory, how can we know who to trust? Is there a way we can test what we're reading and hearing so that we know what is credible and what isn't? That's my goal in this episode. It won't be possible to cover all the claims that are being made. There are too many of them. Instead, I want to share some key principles and observations that will help us to answer this simple question. Do total solar eclipses have any prophetic significance? The best place to start is to define a total solar eclipse. A simple definition that appears on the NASA website about the April 2024 total solar eclipse is this. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the sun and earth, completely blocking the face of the sun. In other words, the moon is lined up so perfectly between the earth and the sun that all of the sun's light is blocked. Another important factor is that the moon has to be the right distance from the earth. When the moon orbits the Earth, it's not always the same distance away from us. Sometimes the moon is closer, and other times it is farther away. Only when the moon is at the right distance will it completely block the sun. If the moon is too far away from the Earth, then we don't have a total solar eclipse. Instead, we have what's called an annular eclipse. The moon will move in front of the sun, but the sun is still visible around the moon. And much more frequently, we have what are called partial eclipses, where the moon blocks out only part of the sun, not all of it. Now, this brings us to a very important point. The sun, moon, and Earth all have their own orbits. They move like clockwork. God has designed all the heavenly bodies to follow specific paths in a timely manner. These orbits are so precise that it is possible for us to calculate with great precision all the eclipses that will happen for hundreds of years into the future. We know exactly when they will happen and where. We know whether they will be total eclipses or annular eclipses or partial eclipses. All of this can be figured out because the sun, moon, and Earth follow predictable paths during their orbit. The fact we can calculate their movements so far in advance is a testimony to God's amazing power to keep the universe perfectly orchestrated. Nothing misses a beat. We live in a very finely tuned universe. It is mathematically precise. And here's the point I want to make. When a total solar eclipse occurs, it is not because God suspends any of the laws of nature. God doesn't do anything special when a total solar eclipse occurs. When a total solar eclipse takes place, it is because the sun, moon, and Earth are all following their orbits exactly the way they are supposed to. And when these heavenly bodies are perfectly aligned, and when the moon is the right distance from the sun, it will block out the sun's light. So again, when a total solar eclipse happens, God does not suspend any of the laws of nature. He doesn't make any supernatural exception to the rule. Now, there have been times when God deliberately intervened with nature and brought about exception to the rule. God is able to alter the movements of the heavenly bodies, but we cannot say that a total solar eclipse is an exception to the rule. Total solar eclipses occur naturally. They happen because the Earth, Moon, and Sun are all following their God-ordained path. So that we can get a better understanding of supernatural exceptions, let's look at some of them in the Bible. One of them took place during the 10 plagues upon Egypt. In Exodus 10, verses 21 to 29, we read that total darkness covered Egypt for 3 days. We read about another exception in Joshua 10, verses 12 to 14. The Israelites were battling the Amorites in Gibeon. To help the Israelites in battle, God made the sun stay in the sky for a whole day. Verse 13 tells us, the sun stood still and the moon stopped. And verse 14 goes on to say, there has been no day like it before or since. This was supernatural intervention on God's part. Another example is when the Star of Bethlehem led the wise men to the house where the child Jesus was living. There is a lot of debate about this star. Some think it had to do with planets lining up. Others say it was a supernatural star, specially made to guide the wise men. Matthew 2:9 tells us that after the wise men saw King Herod in Jerusalem, the star went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. This star actually moved and directed them, and then it stopped immediately above a house, which is not what normal stars do. Still another example is when darkness came over the land of Israel for 3 hours while Jesus hung on the cross. Luke 23, verse 45 tells us what happened. The ESV Bible says that the sun's light failed. Both the NASB and the NIV say that the sun stopped shining. The New King James Version renders this, "the sun was darkened." There are some who say this was a solar eclipse, but a total solar eclipse lasts for only a few short minutes. This darkness lasted for 3 hours. So once again, we are looking at supernatural intervention on God's part. I say all this to show the difference between a solar eclipse that occurs because the heavenly bodies are following the path they have always followed, as opposed to times when it is obvious that God intervenes and causes nature to do something that breaks the rule. Now, while total solar eclipses are rare, they are still normal. They follow the rules of nature. They happen because the sun, moon, and earth are all following their prescribed orbits. It's all clockwork, and that's why we can predict eclipses so precisely, hundreds of years in advance. All of this raises an important question. Why is it that people are quick to give prophetic significance to one kind of naturally occurring event, that is, eclipses, and not other kinds of naturally occurring events? How do we justify giving prophetic meaning to some naturally occurring events and not others? If we go down that path, then we are being arbitrary. We are picking and choosing what is significant and what isn't, which means our conclusions are based on speculation and not biblical facts. That concludes the first point. Now let's move on to the second. Where do people find biblical support for the idea that total solar eclipses are prophetic in significance? And why do they find support for the claim that total solar eclipses are a sign of judgment? There are a variety of Bible passages people will point to for the answer. Almost all of them build their case by quoting Genesis 1:14, where we read this, "God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and year." Here, God tells us there is a purpose for heavenly bodies like the sun, moon, and star. They are meant to separate day from night. They also help to mark the seasons and to mark days, weeks, months, and year. They help us keep track of time. They can also be used for navigational purposes. So with the help of the sun, moon, and star, we can keep track of time and figure out direction. Within Genesis 1:14, we find the phrase, "let them be for signs." Some people interpret this as meaning that God will use the sun, moon, and other heavenly bodies to communicate certain messages. But we must interpret that phrase about signs in the context of the whole passage. And what is the whole passage talking about? The fact that the heavenly bodies help us to determine the days and seasons. It is because of the sun, moon, and star that we can keep track of time and measure important transitions. Keep in mind that when God commanded the ancient Israelites to have feasts and celebrations at certain times of the year, the heavenly bodies were helpful for reminding them of those dates. This is a legitimate explanation for the meaning of the phrase, "let them be for signs." However, even if we do interpret these signs to include cosmic events like eclipses, there is nothing within Genesis 1:14 that explains what those signs might mean. There are no guidelines given for how those signs should be interpreted. There is nothing in the passage that indicates these signs are negative omens or that they have to do with judgment. There is no language to that effect in Genesis 1:14. We're simply told a fact, and no further information is given that can help us to conclude these signs have a prophetic element. We have no way of knowing whether Genesis 1:14 has total solar eclipses in mind, or if it's talking about other cosmic events, like when all the planets in the solar system are lined up. So when people impose possible interpretations on what this verse is talking about, we have to ask ourselves, Where do we draw the line? Which signs might Genesis 1:14 be talking about? And which sign might it not be talking about? For anyone to impose specific meanings on the signs mentioned in Genesis 1:14 takes us into the realm of speculation. And if there is one thing we don't want to do when we interpret God's word, it's to speculate. Next, there are some people who point to the book of Revelation, and they say, look at all the verses that describe the cosmic activity that will take place during the end time. The sun will go dark, the moon will turn to blood, and the stars will fall. These are all signs of judgment. Well, that's correct, but those passages in the Revelation are describing what will happen in the heavens during the seven-year tribulation. They are describing actual events that will happen during that specific time period. It is not good biblical exegesis to take passages that describe events during the tribulation and to impose their meaning on events that take place before the tribulation. Those passages in Revelation are not meant to be applied to other times in history. They are not prescriptive passages that are meant to serve as guidelines. Rather, they are descriptive passages that simply tell us what will happen. Here's another important point about the cosmic activities we read about in the book of Revelation. They are obvious examples of supernatural intervention. God will disrupt the heavens, which will go dark or fall apart. And we've already made it clear that while total solar eclipses are rare, they do not disrupt the clockwork orbits of the sun, earth, and moon. Total solar eclipses occur naturally. God doesn't suspend the laws of the universe to make them happen. But the cosmic events described in Revelation don't fit the description of a total solar eclipse. For example, in Revelation 16, verses 10 through 12, when the fifth bowl judgment is poured out, we are told that the Antichrist kingdom will be plunged into darkness, and people will gnaw their tongues in anguish because the darkness is so great. Notice the darkness will cover his kingdom. That means it will cover large areas of the earth, or even the entire earth. This is not a darkness that is limited to a narrow path that lasts for only a short period of time. It doesn't match the kind of darkness we see in a total solar eclipse. Also, in a total solar eclipse, the stars do not fall or go dark. But in Revelation 6, verses 12 to 14, and in Revelation 8:12, we read that the stars are affected. They will go dark or they will fall. That doesn't happen in a total solar eclipse. So we can't use the book of Revelation to arrive at conclusions about naturally occurring solar eclipses. The descriptions we read in Revelation don't match the detail of what happened in a total solar eclipse. Now, there are other passages in the Bible that people use to make the claim that total solar eclipses are a sign of judgment. One that they point to is Isaiah 13, verses 10 and 11. But if we read that passage, we notice it says, the stars of the heavens will go dark. Again, that doesn't happen during a solar eclipse. So Isaiah 13 is describing a time of judgment that affects all the heavenly bodies, not just the sun and the moon. Not only that, but if we back up to verse 9, we discover that the context is the day of the Lord. In other words, Isaiah is talking about what will happen at the time of Christ's return. Isaiah 13, verses 10 and 11 describes what will happen near the end of the tribulation. The same is true about Ezekiel 32:7, Joel 2:10, Joel 3:15, Matthew 24:29, and Mark 13, verses 24 and 25. In all of those instances, the stars go dark or fall. This tells us the cosmic activity is much bigger than a simple solar eclipse. All of those passages describe supernatural intervention on God's part, where the entire heavens are shaken, and all of them also describe what will happen during the tribulation, we cannot rip these passages out of context and say that they are talking about normally occurring solar eclipses in our day. So we have to be careful to distinguish between solar eclipses that follow the laws of nature and cosmic events that disturb the heavens and break the laws of nature. They are two completely different things, and we can't take scripture passages out of context to support the claim that solar eclipses have prophetic meaning and are a sign of judgment. Now let's move on and dig a little deeper into some of the claims being made about the 2024 eclipse. As we do this, I'll share some guidelines that we can apply to eclipses anywhere in the world, but we'll use the 2024 eclipse as a springboard to learn those guidelines. First, a lot of people are saying it is significant that North America is being visited by two total solar eclipses 7 years apart. The first takes place in August 2017 and the second in April 2024. We know that the number 7 has a lot of significance in the Bible. One of the first things that comes to mind is that the tribulation will last for 7 years. And because the tribulation is a time of judgment, there are people who say that because the two eclipses over North America are 7 years apart, they may very well be a sign of judgment. There are two important observations to make here. One, the two eclipses actually are not 7 years apart. They are 6 years and 7.5 months apart. That's 4.5 months short of 7 years. We could say that they are almost 5 months short of 7 years. Now, does that really matter? I would say yes, because the Bible shows that God is a mathematically accurate God. When the books of Daniel and Revelation talk about the tribulation, it describes it as a full 7 years, or two periods of 3.5 years, or two periods of 1,260 days. God tells us the exact number of days that the tribulation will last, and those days add up to 7 years. God doesn't just give us a rough estimate. He is precise. Consider also the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9. That is another mathematically precise prophecy. We are able to determine to the exact day the amount of time that would go by between the decree that was given for the Jews to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the time Messiah would be cut off or crucified. The first 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy comes to a total of 483 years or 173,880 days, right on the nose. God is a precise God. The tribulation period will last a full 7 years, but the span of time between the 2017 and 2024 eclipses is nearly 5 months short of 7 years. So we are on very shaky ground when we try to compare the two. Now, am I saying that America is not about to face God's judgment? Not at all. We can reasonably say there is evidence that judgment is imminent or already underway against America. And here is a solid reason why we can arrive at that conclusion. In the Bible, God clearly describes the kinds of sins that will lead to judgment. For example, in Isaiah chapter 5, we read a list of all the reasons God says he will judge Old Testament Israel. As we go through that list, we see that America is guilty of all those very same sins. Because we've met God's criteria for judgment, we can rightly say that judgment is either imminent or already underway. But we need to be careful about saying that two total solar eclipses that happen nearly 7 years apart are a sign of judgment. We cannot assume that any given span of 7 years automatically has prophetic significance. The only reason we know the 7-year tribulation has prophetic significance is because that information is clearly proclaimed in Scripture. What's the principle here? Just because the number 7 sometimes has significant meaning in the Bible doesn't mean that the number 7 will always have significant meaning. It's important to note that when the number 7 is mentioned in the Bible, it is usually connected to something. For example, 7 years of tribulation, or the 7 churches of Asia Minor, the 7-year Sabbath rest for the land, the 7 lampstands Jesus walks among. But nowhere in the Bible do we see any reason to assign prophetic significance to the number 7 when it occurs outside the context of a specific prophecy. So we cannot say that just because 2 events happen 7 years apart, they have prophetic significance. And in this case, it's not actually 7 years. It's nearly 5 months short of that. In contrast, we are given precise numbers for the number of days in the tribulation. That's because we have a precise God. Another claim we're hearing is that there is significance in the fact that the crosshairs of the 2 eclipses happen to run through a state park that has a rock tower called Devil's Stand Table. The fact this rock formation is called Devil's Stand Table, and the fact it is at the very spot where the 2017 eclipse and the 2024 eclipse overlap, is viewed as a sign of evil or judgment. But consider this. The U.S. Geological Survey database tells us there are more than 750 demonic place names in the western U.S. alone. 71 of those places are called Devil's Canyon. 19 of them are called Devil's Backbone. 11 of them are called Devil's Peak. During my online research, I learned there are 43 place names in Massachusetts that are named after the devil. The most common are Devil's Den and Devil's Pulpit. The state of Maine has more than 20 places named after the devil. When we look at national parks all across the U.S., we discover there are 30 places with the word devil or hell in their name. Because there are so many places with demonic words in their name, that means the chances of an eclipse casting a shadow on one of them is high. It would not be hard for a single eclipse to darken one or more of those places. Some people have also attached significance to the fact the April 2024 eclipse will cast a shadow over several cities called Salem. But there are more than 30 Salems in the United States, and there are nearly 1,000 cities and towns in the U.S. that have biblically based names. So once again, the chances of a total solar eclipse casting a shadow on these places is high. In other words, it wouldn't be unusual. Some people are pointing to the fact the 2024 eclipse will darken the town of Moscow in Maine as it exits the U.S. Yet since 1800, there have been at least 47 towns or cities named Moscow in the U.S., and currently there are 21. Also, it should be obvious to us that Moscow, Maine is not the same as Moscow, Russia. We know that Russia is clearly mentioned in Bible prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38, but Moscow, Maine does not appear in Bible prophecy. These are 2 very different cities. Just because the Moscow in Maine ends up in the shadow of an eclipse doesn't give us any reason to attach prophetic significance to this phenomenon. And why should we attach any significance to a town in the U.S. when the real Moscow in Russia is already acting in ways that show we are closer than ever to the events of Ezekiel 38? Real Bible prophecy is unfolding before our eyes right now in Russia. What's the guideline here? It's simply this. Just because a place lands under the shadow of a total solar eclipse doesn't give that place any prophetic significance. Rather than look at devil's place names in a part of the world that isn't mentioned in the Bible, we should pay attention to what the Bible says about the real devil, who does everything he can to promote evil and hurt what is good. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us to be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And rather than pay attention to the Salems in North America that end up in the moon's shadow. We should pay attention to the real Jerusalem in Israel, which is at the epicenter of Bible prophecy. There is a lot happening now in the real Jerusalem that is prophetically significant. Earlier, I mentioned there are many who claim that total solar eclipses are connected to war and judgments upon the earth. For example, we're told that in November 1811, a solar eclipse occurred in the U.S., and 7 months later, the War of 1812 broke out. There are some who say there's a connection, but there's a seven-month gap between the two. Can we really make a connection? In a book titled What Every Person Should Know About War, we learn that in the last 3,500 years, there have only been 268 years of peace. During the last 3,500 years, that's 90% of the time, wars have been taking place around the world. They break out frequently, and they last for months or years. So the likelihood of a total solar eclipse happening in the same year as a war is high. This is why we need to be cautious. It is easy for people to associate a solar eclipse with a war or a disaster because wars and disasters happen all the time. In all the ground that we have covered, here's what we've learned. At first glance, many of the claims certain prophecy teachers make about solar eclipses seem special or unique, and we wonder, could this be a sign? But when we take a closer look, we discover that the claims are not as special as they appear to be, and we have to ask ourselves, can we really apply prophetic significance to events the Bible doesn't talk about? More importantly, can we really apply prophetic significance to what is actually a normal result of the sun, moon, and earth following their orbits with precision? As we saw earlier, no supernatural intervention is required to make a total solar eclipse take place. If you go online and look at a map of all the total solar eclipses that occurred in the 20th century, or if you look at a map of all those that will happen in the 21st century, you'll see a lot of wavy lines all over the planet. A lot of these eclipses occur over oceans, and you have to ask yourself, is there any prophetic significance when a total solar eclipse happens over the ocean? Is there any prophetic meaning behind the total solar eclipses in Antarctica or the Arctic Circle? This brings up another problem. Why is it that some total solar eclipses are said to be prophetically significant and others aren't? Who decides when an eclipse is prophetically significant or isn't? There are people who say the reason the 2017 and 2024 eclipses are significant is because they occur in the most powerful nation on earth. But the Bible doesn't make that distinction. There's nothing in the Bible that says some solar eclipses will be more significant than others. It all comes down to the fact people are arriving at arbitrary conclusions. Their conclusions are not being driven by the Bible. They are being driven by speculation. For example, a big deal is being made about the fact the paths of the 2017 and 2024 eclipses over North America form a large X. But what about the other X's that happen as a result of eclipses in other parts of the world? There will be an X in Australia from eclipses that take place in 2028 and 2030. Is that supposed to be significant? The problem with attaching significance to X's is that they aren't really X's at all. One eclipse happens to take one path, and several years later, another totally unrelated eclipse just happens to overlap the path of the first one. They are two separate eclipses that happen at two separate times. A gap of several years between eclipses is a long time. Once again, this makes it obvious that people are simply making assumptions. There is nothing in the Bible that gives us reason to attach significance to the points at which eclipse shadows happen to overlap. Let's summarize what we've learned so far. First, the most important truth is this. Total solar eclipses are naturally occurring events. We live in a finely tuned universe. It is mathematically precise. Anytime a total solar eclipse occurs, it is because the Sun, Moon, and Earth are all following their orbits exactly the way God designed them to. When a total solar eclipse happens, God does not suspend any laws of nature. He doesn't make exceptions to the rule. Second, the Bible does not teach that naturally occurring solar eclipses are prophetically significant. There are no passages that specifically tell us these kind of eclipses have special meaning. Third, it is important that we distinguish between naturally occurring eclipses that follow the laws of nature and supernatural intervention by God that break the laws of nature. Fourth, when the Bible does talk about cosmic events in connection with God's judgment, we see two things happen. One, it's obvious that supernatural intervention occurred. And two, these cosmic events do not fit the description of total solar eclipses. Instead, we see stars going dark or falling, and we see the heavens shaking. Those things don't happen in total solar eclipses. Fifth, there is no reason to give prophetic significance to towns and place names that are located in countries that are not mentioned in the Bible. Just because a location is named after a town in the Bible or is named after the devil doesn't give it prophetic significance. It's only those places that are actually mentioned in Bible prophecy that have actual prophetic significance. There is nothing prophetically meaningful about all the towns called Salem in North America, but there is enormous significance attached to Jerusalem in the nation of Israel. That's because Jerusalem is clearly and repeatedly mentioned in Bible prophecy. Sixth, when God talks about periods of time in Bible prophecy, he is exact. 7 years means 7 years. It doesn't mean 6 years and 7.5 months. And just because the tribulation is 7 years long, doesn't mean that other periods of 7 years also have prophetic significance. And seven, if the Bible does not connect the dots between a specific prophecy and an event, then we shouldn't attempt to connect those dots by force. If Scripture doesn't attach prophetic significance to something, we shouldn't either. Far too many of the claims that people make about total solar eclipses fall in the realm of human speculation, not biblical fact. They try to connect the dots between their claims and the words of Scripture, but if their claims are not backed by a specific teaching or prophecy in Scripture, then it is speculation. Frequently, these people will say, the eclipse could mean this, or it could mean that. Or they'll say, maybe God is trying to tell us something. When you hear that kind of language, you are hearing the language of speculation. Ultimately, there is nothing in Scripture that clearly states naturally occurring solar eclipses have prophetic significance. Remember, we must distinguish between normal solar eclipses and cosmic events where God supernaturally intervenes and causes the heavenly body to do things they don't normally do. Now, there are some people who will listen to this, and they will say that I am diminishing the fact that total solar eclipses are special, but I'm not saying that at all. The reality is that they are very special. They show the incredible ways God designed his creation to work. Solar eclipses are one of many ways that God demonstrates he controls the entire universe. They point to the fact that he is all-wise, all-powerful, and all-sovereign. As people watch total solar eclipses, they see God's handiwork and creativity on display. Total solar eclipses are a testimony to the fact we live in a precisely tuned universe. None of what we see around us happens by random chance. There is a great designer behind it all. And there are many astronomers who say that it was the study of the heavens that led them to realize there really is a God. As Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. As we view the great beauty of a total solar eclipse, we cannot help but be humbled. In Psalm 8, David wrote, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Eclipses are a wonderful time to be reminded of the greatness and majesty of God. They are one more way that we cannot help but be filled with awe and reverence for God, and they can remind us to keep our eyes on Him and to stay close to Him and His Word. And may we be careful to avoid speculation that distract us from the thousands of prophecies that are already clearly stated for us in Scripture. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Foreshadows Report. If you've had questions about whether solar eclipses have prophetic significance, I hope you've found this podcast helpful. And maybe you know others who are asking questions about eclipses as well. If so, I would encourage you to share this episode with them. Here at Foreshadows Report, one of our key goals is to help provide clear teaching on Bible prophecy. If you'd like to find out more about what we have to offer, you can go to my website, stevemillerresources.com. There, you'll find some free articles about Bible prophecy, as well as two books I've written. One is titled Foreshadow, 12 Mega Clues that Jesus' Return is Nearer Than Ever, and the other is One Day Nearer, which is a 365-day devotional that looks at major Bible prophecies from Genesis to Revelation. You can find out more about these books at stevemillerresources.com. I am also on social media every day at Telegram Messenger Channel. So if you'd like to receive daily news about Bible prophecy and current events, just go to Telegram Messenger Channel and subscribe to Foreshadows Report. Once again, thank you, and I appreciate the support Harvest House Publishers has given to this podcast.